Today, we are going to be receiving shareholders, and so I want to talk to you about it. You know, let me just share with you, we don't call the people who are part of the family here members. Amen? Your family, most of. That's the greatest thing. We want you to become family. But several years ago, I had a thought hit me, really a revelation that I didn't want to lead a church or a congregation that had members. I wanted to develop shareholders. And the reason is because we believe that every person sitting in this room, every person that comes here and calls this their family, that the thing you're to do is to share your vision so the vision will be complete here. If, you know, let me just tell you, membership in most cases, because of the old model, is all about what can I receive. But I believe shareholders are about what can I sow and reap. And if I would go to Ephesians 4:11 and read it to you, I'm going to just quote it. It said, it talks about, and not just 4:11, but Ephesians 4, it says, coming together as each joint supplies. You know, how many of you know, not every assembly, not every church, not every congregation that are assembled today are assembled in a way to where each joint can really supply. Most of the time, it's more from the front. You know, last week, I wasn't here, but what I understand, it was several prophetic, a lot of prophetic, not even just several, and it was about giving and receiving. And so we're creating an atmosphere. But what I want to do today, I want you to understand your vision is important. And we believe it, as God has given you your vision, we want to create an environment here to where your vision can come forth and it can flourish. Amen? But on the other hand, what I want to talk to you today much about is core values. Because I believe that you bring your vision into this house, but they've got to be built on the core values of this house. Amen? You know, one of the core values we have here, have you got the recorder today? Can I see the recorder? We really ask people to not prophesy unless it's recorded. Can we? Listen, you need to hear this, what I'm about to say. God's boundaries do not limit. God's boundaries create more movement and momentum, more flow. Think about the rock dikes. Anybody ever been down in the Mississippi River where they have these rock dikes that go out into the river? Anybody ever wondered what that's about? Maybe you understand. It actually creates more movement and more flow and creates a self-dredging effect to the river. And so when God gives us boundaries, when in the Garden of Eden, he set a boundary. He said, eat of any tree in this garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's look at this. Here is a God that is all good, but he created a tree that is of the knowledge of good and evil. Anybody ever asked why would he even do that? Well, there has to be a contrast. We have the moon at night, the sun the day. We have darkness and light. God is a God of contrast. And what it was all about, it was about a boundary of honor. You know, it wasn't even about just eating of it. I mean, it was bad things you reap, but God wanted to set a standard of honor. It's the same way with tithing and giving offerings. People ask me all the time, do you really believe that tithing's New Testament? And I say, no. But I don't believe it's Old Testament. I believe it's about honor. And we're not taking an offering. Everybody breathe. You know, breathe deeply. Okay? Breathe deeply. I've got a brand new iPad. And you might wonder why it's so big, Ian. It's because as you become more mature, sometimes your eyes become more challenged. But it's also the new one that's out. I can split the screen and have two Bible on side and notes on the other side, and that helps me. All right, let me give you some core values of CityGate. Let me get to where I'm supposed to start. Number one, you have to understand in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, your heart is also. A scripture that if you have a vision that we want you to understand, God said, delight yourself in him and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, we're interested in your vision. Now, we're interested to know that it is a vision that God's placed in your heart. You know, as I've been mentioning, Susan and I have a vision now for this land in Arkansas called the Ark and developing a ministry that's going to help adolescents who have not been taught life skills to come there and have life-changing experience. God's even adding to it. How many of you know when he first gives you the vision, you see in part and you know in part? See, I want to have it for families that are dysfunctional, fatherless families, so that the adolescents can go there and get some fathering and learn life skill. But the Lord showed me the other day to run the same school and make it available to very wealthy kids who have both parents in the home. And let them pay big money so we can help the families that don't have the money come there. There are plenty of families around the world, around this nation, that are having trouble with their adolescents that would, if they could get something, would help them. And I'm not talking about overcharging, but they're able to pay for their child, their adolescent to go through something. Are you hearing me? I'm so full of this about the ark, it just comes out, but where your treasure is. And Matthew 13:44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid for the joy of it. He goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. I want to tell you, when a God vision comes, you'll sell everything to bring it to pass. You'll sacrifice everything. God visions are about sacrifice. Can you say amen? God's vision are about sacrifice. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So a core value is important. Let me give you my definition of core value. The significance by which a person responds to convictions that serve as an influence to guide us in our decision-making and behavior. Let me tell you a story about mine. Back when I used to fly 150,000 miles a year and travel all the time, there was a certain suitcase, luggage line called, it still is today, called Travel Pro. And they were kind of top of the line. I mean, they held up well. They were very effective, very efficient. And I really wanted a Travel Pro, and we couldn't even afford Samsonite. We had to step down to the other, what's it called, Tourist? Or I mean, there's a lower brand of theirs that sells that's not quite as good. And one day my wife and I were in Goldsmith's here in Memphis, and she was looking, and probably to be truthful in Goldsmith, daydreaming at that time of finances. You know, she was, you know, how many of you men know that when we go to buy something, we're on a mission? Kind of like going deer hunting. We got it. We're in and out, you know, and in 7 minutes and 32 seconds, we bag our trophy. Well, women are out for an experience. God made us different, okay? You might be a woman and say, no, it's not me. There are exceptions to either one of that. So we're there, and I ease over into the luggage area of that, and I'm looking and dreaming and drooling and coveting and repenting for this travel whole case that would be ideal as a carry-on. I could go to Eastern Europe for 2 weeks at least, and, you know. And I watched this man went right over to the one that I was desiring, and he stood there a minute, and he looked around. I'm kind of over, you know, away from him. He didn't realize I was watching, and he actually took the price off of a cheaper one and put over on the other one, the very one I want. And I watched him as he rolled it up to the cash register to pay for it. But before he got there, he chickened out and rolled it back and put it and left the store. And I stood there and I thought, I didn't put that price tag on there. Thank you, Lord. Get behind me, Satan. And I got out of the luggage department because I was convicted in my heart Now, let me tell you a thought that fired through my head from the plane going down where that bag was on there with me. God's probably not that severe, but that thought helped me, and I never touched it. I fled the place. I was scared into life, amen? I was scared into life with it, but that was a conviction. I have a conviction. I had a conviction, and I am a person of conviction. So core values are necessary. Now, let's talk about the core values here. See, the vehicle of this ministry is your vision. You know what your is made up of the word our? So we could say the vehicle of this ministry is our vision, but without your vision, it can't become our vision. Are you catching that? Without Swandra coming and being a part and becoming a shareholder and bringing to us worship without words that we have, without that, we couldn't be here at Citygate. See, we are determined not to become a sheep pen, to where we collect people here on Sunday, but it's not about empowering you to go forth and do the will of God and accomplish your destiny and see the purpose of God. So the vehicle here, how many of you know that vehicles are necessary? You know, I think most of you know a year ago we bought a motorhome. Can I just tell you, if I knew what I knew today, I'd have bought it 15 years ago. Greatest investment we've ever made. You know, it has just made, you know, the month of July was in our bed here in Olive Branch 4 nights. I spent 28 nights, I think it was, in that motorhome. It is great. It is big. Is something up with that? Oh, okay. You had a look on your face, and anytime we need to interrupt and do God's business, we want to do that. But it was an investment. So what I'm trying to tell you is that vehicles help you get to where you're going, but they also help you accomplish what you went there for. We sleep well. We eat better. We can park. I mean, most of the places we go, we park right on the church's parking lot, and it makes very easy for Harley to go with us. If y'all hadn't met Harley, you need to meet Harley. He's our new dog. In fact, will y'all do this for me today? Say, happy birthday, Harley. Today's his birthday, amen? He's 9 months old today. Come on. You know, life's real. And if you've got a cat or a dog or something, that you understand the joy that he brings to us. And so the vehicle of this ministry is your vision. It propels us forward. You know, without your vision being placed here, we can't move forward. All we do is Gilgal. Gilgal means circle, and Gilgal is just about wearing out Reeboks. You know that most religious houses, they just want you to keep doing the same thing over and over and over, but expect different results. That's the reason, and then in this house, we have the journey. We have enduring freedom, which is a type of sozo. We have deliverance teams here. We have courts of heaven. We have George and Pamela Wonderland, who are actually out getting some training. I think coming back in today. But you know, they're handling our deliverance. Just had someone come to them. Incredible story of deliverance that took place. Just incredible testimony, because we believe in these things and we want them, but it's about empowering people to get a hold of God so that they can become different and they can become healthy. The engine of this ministry is our purpose. Now, we've moved from your part, bring there, into our purpose. The engine here, see, it produces the power for us to move forward. How many of you know we don't have cars like the Flintstones? How many of you are young enough you don't even know who the Flintstones are? All right, Janu, you'll get older one of these days. That, no, just, but, you know, he had this log-built car, and he would pedal it with his feet. He would propel it forward. But, see, there has to be an engine. What is the purpose? You know, I like for people to write mission statement. I actually call them purpose statement. You know, let me just tell you, part of Dave Ramsey, where's my Michael over here? Part of that is he's going to help you set goals. He's going to help you. He's going to help you discover the purpose of why you put money in envelopes and why you plan for things. I want to tell you, there was some incredible testimony The one there in 16 months paid off, what, $44,000? What? I can't remember the exact figure. That's pretty incredible. But I want to tell you, it's a lot easier. I sat down with a guy one time, and they weren't able to pay their bills, and he paid everything in cash. Can I tell you what? That's dangerous. If you're living off your debit card and just calling the bank to see what you got in the bank, you're not living where you can prosper and become debt-free in your living. Woo. Man, it got tight in the room then. But I sat down with a couple that were just struggling up in Dyersburg. He said, we pay cash for everything. We don't even have a checking account anymore because we was all the time overdraft and paying all that and everything with that. And I got him a little notebook, just one of those little spirally notebooks and a pen. And I said, this week, every time you spend, I'm telling you, if you spend 45 cents, I want you to write in this book. And I said, I want to see you in 2 weeks. You know how much he was spending on Cokes? He worked for Firestone out of the machine at the factory that he was paying, I don't remember back then, 50 cents a can maybe. It wasn't even high as it can be today and everything. He was spending almost $25 a week. Now, he was drinking too many Cokes, okay? But he was spending about 25. So I asked him, I mean, at that time, you could go buy Sam's Club Coke, and my kids say their taste different. I don't know. But you could get them. If you bought them in a case lot, they figured out 8 cents a can at that very time. And so we taught him how to buy things at Walmart, and we taught him how to do this, we taught him how to do that, and it was amazing. We freed up their income was very meager, but we freed up $175 a month. How many of you realize on the income they had back in the 90s, that wasn't like $1 million, it was like $100,000 to them. It was so huge. And so all it takes is just some simple, are you hearing me, some simple change. So the engine of this ministry is our purpose. It produces power to move forward. Now listen to this, the last thing, the steering wheel of this ministry is our core values. See, the core values is what keeps us on course as we are moving forward. I want to tell you, if you don't have core values, that you're in trouble. So let's talk for just a moment about these core values. See, I want to tell you some things about them first, the attribute. Core values are like footing filled with concrete and rebar. They hold things together and hold us together during good times and bad. You know, someone shared with me recently, had a conversation with me about someone that is not coming to the church anymore and has questions about a situation that happened here, but they've never sat with the leadership. They never come and sat with me and heard or looked at facts that I can prove that took place in the situation that they have questioned about. And that's very heartbreaking. And so footing filled with concrete and rebar steel are like your core value. They hold you together good during the good times and bad. You know, we went through the loss of a son-in-law. When we went through, you know, some of you missed it, but just before our son-in-law passed away, we lost Ginger Riley, who had been a longtime spiritual daughter to us, who was living in our home. And so we took a double lick, but it was the core values that we had that held us together. Another part of the core value, they're like a stable foundation. See, on them, all is built and finds its strength. Do you know if without a good foundation under this building, it would be shifting and cracking and breaking? And you ever drove by an old barn over time that was just built and everything, or seen anybody that, you know, they hired a fence company to come put in a privacy fence and they don't put the pole deep enough or put concrete around them, and the first thing you know, a year later, it's leaning? Well, I want to tell you, we got to have foundation. I don't know about you, but my core values are my foundation. Someone just recently asked me to come back into an area and minister where I'm going into an interstate, and I just told him, I said, I'd love to come minister for you, but I need to talk to the person who opened the door first into this city. And they said to me, why would you do that? I said, well, I want to make sure that your relationship and his relationship are on a good level. Well, what does that matter? And I knew already it must not have been. I knew I was pushing a button here. And he said, what does that matter? And I said, because I don't want to create confusion. It can be confusing to people in your congregation and their congregation. If I come in, I was over here, and you're against them, and are you hearing me? See, it's easy to make righteous decisions when you know ahead of time what foundation you're standing on. I made a righteous decision that day in Goldsmith because of the foundation I'm standing on. I've never been a thief. Never been a thief. But so it was very easy. I didn't stand there and ponder. I mean, when I talk about I saw that, I didn't even really consider. I just thought up on for a fleeing moment. You know, this is how it could be. But then I began to see him leading me out of the store in handcuffs because it was all on video. You know, I don't know about, I said to Susan, the guy that drove into the crowd in Charlottesville yesterday, you know, it's very evident he had no value of life. But can I tell you the greatest life he didn't value? His own. That he didn't take into the value. It's sad enough the people he hurt over, we don't really know yet, but it looks like that he was some kind of white supremacist that you know, don't even get me started. I'll say some things I shouldn't say from the pulpit. And had no, but he didn't even value his own. If he doesn't get the death penalty, he will serve the rest of his life in jail when he's found guilty. Are you hearing me? I value my life, and I value the life of Jesus Christ, and I value the life of every person, no matter where they began, no matter what their ethnic group, no matter what the pigmentation of their skin looks like. I value every living being. I value the life of all the children that are being aborted on the same level of anybody alive today. The reason we work so hard when we travel to bring awareness of the fact about what's going on in abortion. Stable foundation. See, listen to this. Trust is a choice that deals with character. Respect is earned and deals with competence. I respect people that are competent. I respect people that are disciplined. I respect people. You know, I was talking with a family today. I think they got 6 or 7 kids, and they visited service somewhere. And I was asking them about it, and they said it was just mad mayhem. Said the children were interrupting, and I've been in conferences with this family, 7 or 8 kids. I can't remember exactly. A couple of them are older, and these kids are perfect there. They'll turn around the chair and color. They'll do things with that. I want to tell you something. Your children speak of your character. Do I need to say that again? Your children speak of your character. The third thing that you need to know about core values is they're like a yardstick. They set a standard to measure our ethics of ministry. And we're going to be talking about some of the values here. I love what J.R. Ewing, how many of you don't know who I'm talking about? Look at all the young millennials. They ain't got a clue. Man, I can't believe y'all missed Dallas. Amen. Anyway, J.R. Ewing was a real bad guy, unscrupulous guy on Dallas, and he once said this, once you give up your ethics, the rest is a piece of cake. I won't say who it is, but I think it was this Christmas, and I had someone come and give me, and they'd been given some gifts in a manner that was could have the appearance of evil. I don't even know if it was against any rules or regulations where they were. Just wasn't. And it said, I don't know what's in this. I don't know what's in this. I don't want to open this. I don't want in any way to prosper me. I want to, if there's any money inside these cards, I want them given to help family. And it helped families in this house. I already knew this person had that kind of ethics. But I have to tell you, they went to a whole nother level. Because that's the way. You know that I have people hand me, how many of you know what a Pentecostal handshake is? Okay, it's not just a handshake got money in, it's a handshake got a $100 bill in. That's what a Pentecostal handshake is. And I have people from time to time give me a Pentecostal handshake. You know what I do? I make sure to give it to Susan, and I make sure they get a giving record. Now, occasionally I have people give me and say, this is for you. Okay, you don't have to, I don't want a tax write-off. I don't want to do this. You know, are you hearing me? And so they'll do that. But what I'm trying to say is I make sure that they know at the end of the year that that money didn't go in my pocket. I go overboard to overcompensate, to give forth, to depart from things that have the appearance of it. Are you hearing me? Number four, your core values are like a compass. They keep you on course at all times, all conditions. Number five, they're like a magnet. They attract like-minded people and diverse abilities, personifications, therefore releasing synergy. That's what I love about City Gate. I want to tell you, there's a compass here. We are a diverse group. You think about it. Look at all the church background that we have. Look at all the faith. You know, there's just one faith, but you know what we? You know, someone asked me recently, "What kind of church are you?" I like to say we're interdenominational. Can I just tell you? I don't know what it means to you, but when they label us charismatic, I go. Because what charismatic means is you're fruity and flighty and you're, you know, anybody ever read in the old King James where it said, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley in the book of Song of Solomon? That's what it said. I went down. Listen, that's what some charismatic churches are like. And I hear it was pretty wild here last Sunday. Anybody here last Sunday for the first time? It was your first Sunday to visit this house? Amen. Corey held up his hand, but he didn't remember the week to week where he'd been, so it doesn't matter. Amen. If he didn't have Carmen keep him on course, he'd be in trouble. Amen. I'm just picking on him because we went for a nice motorcycle ride with them last night, or right at dark last night. See, a magnet, they will attract like-minded people, diverse in abilities, personifications, therefore releasing synergy. There's a synergy here in this house. Number six, it's like an identity. They define and distinguish us from the rest. Number seven, and my last one, your core value should become like a billboard. See, they spell out clearly who you are, where we are, and where we're heading. Let me just tell you, can I tell you what? When your core value is like a billboard, it becomes a sign that makes people wonder. You know, one of the things that ministers that visit here and other people that visit here tell me, they are amazed. They wonder. I have this said to me probably as much as, how do you give that much liberty without it becoming lawless? And I have a great answer. Authority is. And this minister will look at me. No, authority is. Is what? It is. See, I don't believe authority is about limitations. I believe it's about boundaries that give you more movement. I believe it's about boundaries that will cause you to fulfill the destiny and purpose that God has called you to. You know, I got a text a while ago from Walter Creasy. They couldn't be here today, but this week they close on their first home. And it came right in the middle of the Dave Ramsey thing. I thought, yeah. You know why? Because I know they've shared with me, they've been working hard to get to that place. Isn't it great they're getting their first home? Can I tell you what? My heart so melted that I actually for a fleeting moment went back to the first house I ever built her. Finished it in 1981, the year our son was born. We have a picture, an aerographical picture of the house that, you know, how they used to take photos like that and then paint them. And we have it in our office, home office, and we value that house. We watched our kids, you know, come forth there. Are you hearing me? And Habakkuk or Habakkuk, depending on whether you're north of the Mason-Dixon or south, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. There's a paraphrase that's far greater than that. It says, write the vision and make it, and write it large enough so that he who is running at the speed of life, I haven't discovered what that speed is yet, Jeff, but he who is running at the speed of life does not have to alter their speed in order to read it and comprehend it. Woo! Let's talk about the vision here just for a fleeting moment. The vision here is enjoying God at all times. By celebrating who we are, by knowing who he is. See, I believe your vision needs to be simple. Now, can I tell you, the details to accomplishing that is very different. You know where it came from? I saw four men on a snowy day in Olive Branch, Mississippi, standing on a golf course knocking balls around. And I thought, what is that about? Number one, I didn't know that there were different colored golf balls. I was trying to figure out how they could even see the ball. I'm not a golfer. And then number two, I thought, man, it's so bitter cold. I can't believe anybody would stand out on somewhere that there's no trees around and try to knock a ball around. Now, I can understand going to the woods and staying all day when it's zero. Amen? You know, but it's difference in values and what you appreciate. But in other words, God showed me. Actually, he spoke to me that day, and he said, I don't want you to teach people how to be committed to me. I want you to teach people how to enjoy me. How many of you know what you enjoy you're committed to? You know, there's people who enjoy working out. They don't just do it for strength. There's a euphoria that actually comes. Runners will tell you, marathon runners and distant runners will tell you there's a euphoria. And so what you enjoy, you're committed to and you're loyal. Are you hearing me today? Isn't it wonderful? Now, before we receive our shareholders and y'all have this wonderful meal that you're going to have, I want to talk just a little bit about what the core values here are. Because I want you to lay your vision firmly on the core values here. What is a vision? Robin just asked us last night in talking. She's got a desire in her heart about starting a home group in her home up in Memphis. And she came in the right order. Do you know you don't need my permission to do anything? But you sure need our agreement. You know that when we commission people to do something, it's not about, has Apostle blessed it? No, it's Apostle in agreement. What if I wasn't in agreement? I said, you know, Robin, I think you're a little bit ahead of time. Let's pray. You go back and pray a little bit more. I'll pray a little bit more. But if she'd have come back in 3 months and I said, well, you know, and said, she's just knowing I didn't feel she's supposed to, you know how I would have had it? I said, you know, Robin, I'm not near at peace about this as you are, but if you really feel you've got a word from heaven, we're going to commission you to do it. Can I tell you why? Because then we can be the safety net to catch her if it doesn't work out. And I had total peace. I want to say that for Robin. It's like I had no question about it. You know, I could talk about Hope and Diane and what they do in the court of heaven and the deliverance that y'all are doing, and I hear back great reports. And thank you, because it's not easy. And so it's not about us trying to control what you're doing. It's about being in agreement. And can I just share with you, I have some people that I love very much, might even be listening. I'm not picking on them, but they jumped into marriage before the time and really never came and got counsel about it and agreement about it, came afterwards and wanted a blessing on it. It's hard to bless what's already been done if you can't come in agreement with it and commission it before it's done. Somebody needs to write that and put that on Facebook. I'm just telling you, it's not just hard. You can't really do it. I can tell you I'm in agreement now, but it's better to get in agreement before. Are you hearing me? I would tell a story, but it would embarrass my wife, and I will anyway. But many, many years ago when we weren't saved, we decided we wanted to have children, have first child. And she had been on birth control, and she came off of birth control for 5 days, and we did the other part that produces children. And then the secretary of our business came and said, the reason we decided by that time, too, is because we finally got Blue Cross Blue Shield. And the secretary, the kind of HR person, came to me and said, oh, I don't know if you and Susan think about having a baby. Don't do it yet. You got to have this policy for so many months before it kicks in. And I said, Susan, get back on that pill. Too late. Can I tell you why? You know, most of the time it takes a woman a few months coming off the pill to be able to conceive. You know why? Because her and I got an agreement about our first child. We planned out about 3 years apart. You know, can I tell you what? We didn't plan to have two girls and a son. We planned to have, but we planned to have that. Clay planned to have that son. Amen? In fact, we were not even born again when our son was conceived, and her mama came to her and said, Clay's going to, and she had had some complication with our second child, had to be in bed rest most of the pregnancy, and her mom came and said, I know Clay's going to want to try again for another, for a son. Let me tell you how to have one, how to have a boy. And, so, and Sue never told me this. And she said, yeah, and of course Susan was wondering what her mother, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable. Susan said, you know, what's my mama finna tell me? And her mama said, pray and talk with God and ask him before you do anything. And she prayed. Now, didn't even talk to me. Didn't talk to me about, I didn't pray in those days. I thought I was bulletproof. I knew I was full of the devil. And I knew I was headed to hell. And I was trying to get there as fast as I could. And Susan prayed and she asked God. And God gave us a son. Had to be bedridden with him. But he came and he was healthy. Are you hearing me? You got to hear what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, okay? Go back. Let me tell you not number one. I'm telling you the first one. These are not in rank or order. To see people experience a life-giving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want your life, this couple who's new in my life, I want your life to be so much a sweet-smelling fragrance. We came in last night from being up here, and I don't know if you can tell or not, but I started a very rigid, whole new, not a diet, eating process. I think today's my 13th or 14th day, I can't remember. And we came up here. In fact, I say to Jesse and Jamie, one of the reasons I left last night as quick as I did, all the aroma of the food was overwhelming. Because I can't eat that food. And we came in last night and my son was cooking on the grill. We came in Saturday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning from ministering over at Pickwick. And there was a smell of great big old sausages that my son had cooked on the grill there at the house with that. And so I believe we should all become a sweet-smelling fragrance that stirs up people's appetite for him. Not even for this church, for him. You hear me? Do I need to say that again? Not even for this church. Although I believe if you put off the right fragrance, they're going to follow you here. How many of you got that favorite restaurant you love to go to? Amen? In Gulfport, Mississippi, there's a seafood restaurant called the Oyster Shell. And it's known, and they're, you know, it's great, and the seafood's good. But can I tell you, we don't go there to eat seafood as much as we do the turnip greens. There's only one other place up in this area that I know the turnip greens, and that's the Blue and White Cafe in Tunica. I mean, they're the real deal. Are you hearing me? But they have a fragrance. What is the fragrance you're releasing? Let me just tell you, it's about to see people experience. I want people to have what I've experienced. I have to tell you, I'm a new man. Are you hearing me? Jesus caused me to become a new man. The second thing is to see personal growth and maturity of every person. Can I just tell you, we're coming into a time of the anointing oil destroying the yoke. That's where we're at. But you know, that's not speaking about the oil we rub on you at the front. That speaks about maturity. Absolutely, 100%. When a young bull is born, they would put a yoke around his neck to keep him inside the fence, and eventually one day that yoke, because of the fatness of his neck, when you study that in Isaiah 10:27, it was the fatness of his neck would break that yoke off, but can I tell you what, then he was mature enough not to go through the fence. And God is looking to bring maturity. It's never been a time like we are at right now, that we need maturity. But can I just tell you that I've never seen a time that lawlessness is so prevalent in the body of Christ. Every man doing what's right in their own sight. The things, we were just told about I won't say a major voice, but a voice about that teaches on the courts of heaven. And I'd already had a pause about this person and a pastor. We were just in a meeting somewhere, and it came up about it, and this person was mentioned, and about the fact of the fornication and other things that are being committed by a leader in the body of Christ as they travel around. I want to tell you something. That angers me. I want to call down fire. I want to release the presence of God. I want to move into that place. But I'm not the Holy Ghost Gestapo. So I just turn it over to the Lord to see personal growth. See, we want to see the people that come into this ministry empowered to minister. We don't want you to have a ministry. We want you to become ministry. There's a difference. Number three, we want the shareholders to add value to all people that you come in contact with. You should be adding value where you work. Dan adds value at FedEx. Others here add value where you work. You know, we want you to add value to their life. We want you to be the one they come to. You know, I rode with a few guys one time on motorcycles, rode with them a little bit, and then finally one of them asked me, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm not telling you." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "I'm not telling you because if I tell you, you won't like me." And they said, "No, we want to know what you are." And I kept standing my ground. I said, "I'm not telling you what I do because if I tell you, you're not going to like me because they use a little profanity around me. And they did some things, and not that I want to hear profanity. I was trying to build a relationship." And finally, one of them looked at me and said, "Well, the worst thing you can tell us is you're a preacher." And then he looked at me and said, "Oh, no, tell me you're not." I wouldn't have told that joke a while ago. I said, "Your joke didn't 1 ounce cause me to want to backslide." Are you hearing me? Their language didn't want, you know, not one time when they use words I wouldn't use did I want to start going back to cussing like I used to. Are you hearing me? Amen? And let me just say this. I'm not in any way trying to put value on using cuss words or curse words, but some words that some people call cussing are actually cultural. Culturally, they're not accepted in your house, but I'm telling you, there's cultures of the world where those are used that they're not near. So we need to add value to all people we come in contact with. Can I just give you real quickly how? Place genuine value in them. Quit seeing their problems and start seeing their potential. Make others more valuable than yourself. That's my whole heart here. I want to see everyone that comes in here find the greatness that God has deposited in you so that greatness will touch others and bring out their greatness. Pay it forward. And when you pay your greatness forward, it will cause others. Another thing it does is make room for values of others. And how many of you know one of the greatest lessons I'm in? Let me tell you where I'm at in mine. I'm having to deal with the fact that not everybody's values are the same as mine. I know plenty of preachers that when they're given a Pentecostal handshake, doesn't make them evil, doesn't make them wrong, they put it in their pocket. I'm just saying that's my value. And I'm going to stand on that value. And it's my value not to go in to Hattiesburg, Mississippi and minister. In fact, when I was asked recently by someone, I got in touch with Kimball and Betty Love and asked them, "How would you feel if I ministered to this person?" And this person had been widowed and had did several things. And they said, "We feel it would be very valuable." And I said, "Thank you for your agreement, your blessing on it." And I went in and ministered. And, you know, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's so important that we understand this. How about number four? A core value here is to create teamwork and partnership. You know, many people know how to do it, but they don't know how to work with others to get it done. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. I'm pretty independent. Sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself than watch other people not listen to you and make a mess that you got to come in behind them and clean it up. But a weak leader does that. A weak leader will not give people a chance to learn by their mistake and learn by their failures and with it. And so it's important that we create teamwork here as a core value. I love what Mother Teresa, and I'm finishing up, but I love what Mother Teresa said. You can do what I cannot do. I can do what you cannot do, but together we can do great things. Number five, core values to raise up and empower great people to become great leaders. Can I tell you one of the greatest lessons? I need to go back and dig an old message out that I have, how to play second fiddle and be satisfied. I was offered a position, Dutch Sheets offered me a position one time to lead a whole state in something, and I said to him, I said, well, you know, I'll be happy to take it if you feel I need to take it, but there's someone in that state that's better connected than me. I think they would be a better leader, because the truth of the matter is I'm going to be part of it and I'm going to lead from the middle of the pack. In other words, I'm going to play second fiddle. They called the person I suggested to see if they would lead that state, and this was their answer. Said, I'm surprised you didn't ask Clay. I'll be happy if you feel I'm the one, but I can tell you I want Clay to be a part of it, and he'll probably lead it from the middle of the back. I learned this from John Maxwell. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I learned it because you can lead by making suggestions. You don't lead by telling people what they need to do and how they need to change it. You lead. You know, I have someone in my life. I won't say who it is. I have someone in my life, and I used to say to them, hey, have you ever considered this? Have you ever considered that? Their business is prospering today because they begin to consider some of the things I asked them to consider. I didn't tell them what they need to do and they were doing. I didn't tell them what they were doing wrong. I just asked them, I said, hey, consider this. This might be more effective for you. This might be more profitable for you. Are you hearing me? These are value that will make this house even healthier because it'll make you healthier. Number six, the proper stewardship of this ministry. And the only thing I'm going to say on that is when you properly steward what God's given to you, I promise we are. I'm boasting this. This house, this group of people, without any, you know, you're all wealthy in your own right, but we don't have any business people dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm telling you, we're $300,000 less in debt today than we were 3 years ago this month. Yes. And you might wonder why the carpet is worn, a stain's over here, we can't get up, and all this and everything. I'm not moving, I'm not leaving, I'm going to be here, da-da-da-da-da, all that, but I want to leave this ministry team, I want to empower this ministry team with debt-free facility here. And can I just say this because it's in my heart? I still believe the day will come in this congregation here that I will come into enough wealth that if you are a consistent tither, I'll pay all your debt off. The Lord told me I would. He said, well, Mr. Minister, that sounds pretty far-fetched way out there. Well, you just believe where you want to believe. I'm going to believe that I heard God. And I believe that I'm going to come. Listen, can I tell you what? We gave 43% of our total income away, Susan and I personally. Yeah, are you hearing me? You can't do that. Number one of the reasons we're able to do it is because there's a liberty here. We draw good support from here, but we put a lot in here. The apostolic side of the ministry probably ran close to $250,000 through this ministry last year, and a lot of that helped pay off that $300,000. I could actually quit letting some of the apostolic flow in this house and secure us a lot better, pay off the motorhome. You know, I could talk about a lot of things, but I have a plan that God has given me, and it is to empower you. How many would let me pay your debt off if I came into that kind of money? Hold your hand up. I forgive the rest of you. So y'all pray that I find a lottery ticket laying on some parking lot that's a winner. I don't know how God's going to do it. Probably has something to do with oil and gas. That was number six. Number seven, our last core value I want to give you is to glorify God through every action of obedience that we do here. Can I tell you one of the ways that you can glorify God? And I'm happy. I'm kind of polishing these notes, but I'm happy to anybody, if you'll write me at claynash@claynash.org, I'll send you. It's a lot more than what I preached today in what we put together. I'd love for us to, I don't know if you call it a syllabus, a manual, but all of this, because there's a lot more so you can understand. But I said this to every person, even if you're not a shareholder or you don't know right now about becoming a shareholder, I want to say this to you. We need your vision here. Vicki, we need what you carry. And can I just, Jeff, do I have permission to just bring a little bit of correction? We need you to prophesy more because it's in you. When you come to the front, there's a level of authority with that. We need you. We need this man that God has brought into this house. We need the people to be. We need every one of you. My sister over here that I love so much, you're quiet, but you're a deep prayer. But there's times that God shows you stuff, and we need the vision. Can I tell you what your real vision is? I'm going to define it just as clear as I can. Being who God called you to be. That's just it. And your vision is not about doing, it's about being. Now, give me just a few minutes. I want to make a few statements. Membership, when people become members of churches, it's usually as long as you do the things I think you should do and make me feel right and make me feel empowered. Shareholders are about until. Until what? Until my purpose and destiny is really fulfilled. If you're just here for as long as things seem right or no questions come up or you don't understand something, I'm always amazed at the people that want to choose the information outside of this house but will never come and sit with the leadership and talk with the leadership. This particular question I was talking about earlier in this, I've got all the validation. I've got every bit of the information I need. I've got everything that was done. I've got the paperwork that shows fraud. I've got everything that took place. We're not trying to hurt anybody, but the truth's the truth. So let me go back to what I said. Membership always says, what am I going to get if I become a part of City Gate? But shareholders are about, what can I sow and reap by becoming a part of City Gate? See, I don't believe it's about belonging somewhere. I believe it's about being a part of something. Doesn't it say in Ephesians, coming fitly joined together by what each joint supplies? Membership can be about a list, but shareholders are about a body working together. In fact, my wife had a vision many, many years ago, one body working together, lifting a standard. Only when we work together. And so I close with this. You say, why did you bring this? Not for the new shareholders, for everyone here, because you're a shareholder, or I believe you could become a shareholder. You know why we would like for you to become? Because you carry a vision. I want to transition for just a minute before our shareholders come forward. Jamie, Jesse, do you have a T-shirt here? Can someone bring me a T-shirt up here? One of the kids bring it up. If you didn't have the opportunity yesterday and come celebrate with us with Hannah, no more chemo. If you're watching by web stream, I want you to get a good picture of this. I want to tell you, Jamie, you did a good job of designing that. Isn't that great? Woo! I mean, wow. That could almost be the vision here. That could almost be what I was just talking about. In fact, I think prophetically it's really telling you that of what we're about here. And we're so proud of Hannah. You know, even her last chemo, there were some challenges, but she just come through. And you know what? If I'd have really been on top of my game today, she has to wear a mask today. I'd have preached in a mask. Wouldn't that be great? I preached out of a scissor lift in here one time. Some of y'all might remember. But look here on the back what it says. Notice how the victory stands out. Let me tell you what their vision is right now. Their vision is because the chemo's over, they want to go on a family getaway. I'm not even going to call it a vacation. It's more than that. And they're going to, I think, going out west. Your children gave me this information, so I think I got it right, but I think they want to end up around Yellowstone, maybe even make it to California, and then do a six-mile walk down the beaches of California or something, five-mile walk. I might have all the stuff wrong. But here's what they're doing. They're selling these T-shirts to help finance their family trip. Now, here's what I want to tell you. If you'll order or place an order for one with them today, the church is going to give them $5 for every T-shirt you buy. And we're going to sow into them out of the church as well. We're going to do that. We're not taking an offering. Number one, I'd like to see you have this T-shirt. But number two, it's going to help them be able to do. I want them to leave here. Can I tell you what my desire is? If they're traveling down the road on this family getaway, and I happen to know there in California there is one, because I carry my kid there, and they see a sign, Ghost Town, and the tickets are $10 a kid. I don't want them to have to hesitate. Are you hearing me? When you fought the battle, this family's fought. So what I want to leave, you know the tailors. They're tailor-made. I want you to catch them. You know, even if you have to tell them, look, I want one. I'm going to give you half of it now. I'll give you the other half in 2 weeks. You work it out with Jamie. They'll work with you and, with that. But if for everyone you buy, we're going to give them $5. I want to make sure they have exceedingly abundant above anything they can think or ask to make this trip for. They're family here. Not because, listen, you're not giving to a need, you're giving to a cause. A cause is not a need. They're different. You're giving to a celebration of life and this little, wonderful, precious angel of God, Hannah. And so I just ask you to do that. Would the shareholders come forth that want to, and maybe you came here today with no plans to become a shareholder, and that's okay. If God moved on your heart, we welcome you and we value you here. And, you've heard, we're not asking you to somebody move this pulpit. A couple of you guys move this pulpit for me, make room for them up here. But if you know in your heart and have a desire in your heart to just be fitly joined in here in this house, and can I tell you what? There is no limitations on people that are coming here. We don't cite, you're not a shareholder, you can't do that. That's doctrines of devil. But what we're doing, we're I don't know if the word official, but officially, we're commissioning them to be shareholders. And we're commissioning them to bring their vision forth. And so would you stand to your feet as we do this? And I just want to say to, y'all are finally going to be shareholders? Thank God. Answer, Dan and Vic, no. But I think it's great that we have these that want to be shareholders. And we value you. We value. We're so glad that God worked it out and you were able to come and complete God's destiny for your life by getting your ability to come and be in this nation. And we receive you and we thank you for that. But what we're going to do is just simply lay hands on them. And I just want to say to, with it, if while we're doing this, God gives you a prophetic word for them, we want to speak that into them. What better time than to speak prophetically to their future, speak to what God's doing? But I just say to you and that want to be shareholders, we've long ago received you. So there's not a question about that. But today we come in agreement with your decision and we thank you. And we just declare over every one of you that you've already been supplying, but may that supply go to a greater flow now that we commission you to do that.